My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 70. Hello, my friends. On every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Who am I to be talking about such things to you? Well, I've been an independent DIY creator my entire life, from creating zines in the late 1980s, to publishing one of the first online periodicals in 1998, to being a pioneering self-publisher since 2005. It's also my day job to help authors and podcasters and other creators bring their works to fruition, to market, and to an audience. Everything I do, I kind of approach with the spirit of a forever beginner. Because stuff's always changing. Stuff's always shifting. There's always something new, something different, something that works now that didn't work yesterday, something that worked yesterday that doesn't work today. If you're first joining us this episode, this show is kind of a personal journal. Certainly, I share a lot about how I am doing as a creator and what I am doing as a creator, or as the case may be, what I'm not doing, what I haven't been able to do as a creator. But I also try to make sure that every episode has some value for you. I like to start off each time by going over what I've done in my creative life since the last episode, which was about a week ago. By the way, we're recording this today in the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media in Southern California. It is February 7th, 2023, and a little later in the day than I usually do this. It's almost 6 o'clock Pacific time. I just haven't been able to get to it, the show, this week, because I'm still pretty swamped with client work, and I've been alone in the house. And while I thirst for solitude, it takes a few days. I finally kind of stumbled across the right metaphor for how I feel when I'm finally alone. It takes a while for the rubber band to spring back. As an introvert, it's difficult to be around people all the time and to not be able to kind of think your own thoughts and recharge in whatever way one needs to. It's different for everybody, I think. So when I get a chance to be alone for a few days, I mean, I really need like at least three or four of those days to just exhale and feel my own feelings and hear my own thoughts and just kind of capital B, B. Yeah. So this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the sixth day. And yeah, I'm going to get another 4 days, and I'm glad of that, because sure, I'm sort of kind of coming into a rhythm in my solitude, which is good. And I'm starting to feel a little bit rejuvenated, but I've really been swamped with client work, and that's a great problem to have. But a particular project I'm working on has proven to be a bit more challenging than I anticipated. You know, I'm very good at what I do. I have a deep and wide skills stack based on, well, as I mentioned, on doing this for so very long. But one of my flaws, I would say, is underestimating the time something's going to take. And that's, gosh, that's a lesson of my life, I think. I think that's just how I am. No matter how much I pad for time, the time, it takes longer. So I've been very, very kind of under the gun. And the only thing I did for my creative life, my own personal creative endeavors this week, is the subject of today's episode. Every episode of Sonatotum, I rotate with the main topic. 1 week we will talk about making stuff, the next week finding success, and the next week staying healthy and sane, or, you know, stuff that relates to those sort of tentpole topics. This episode, it's about finding success, and that includes not just talking about what success might mean to me and how that might relate to you, but also the things that we do to try to achieve that success in our writing life. So that could be marketing strategies, could be time management, you know, all that kind of stuff. And since that is the main topic of the show, and it does have to do with the main thing that I did for myself creatively since the last episode, let's just get into it. I believe I mentioned maybe last episode, maybe the episode before, that in terms of sales for my ebooks, my audiobooks, my print books, the last couple months have been kind of awful. You know, I don't make a whole lot from my own writing. It's a fraction of my overall income. Most of my income comes from helping other people with their creative works. But the last few months have been, I mean, we're talking a fraction of a fraction, right? On Amazon, for example, I haven't had a sale since November. And I've had some sales on other platforms here and there, you know, trickling in. But it's definitely, there's definitely some sort of slump going on. And I was fretting about it a little bit, which is silly because, as I said, fraction of a fraction compared to a fraction. And as I also said a few episodes ago, it doesn't make sense to really, really, really kind of obsess over numbers, performance, that kind of thing. It distracts from the real work, from the work. Kind of thinking along those lines and also thinking about how I've been trying to be less precious about stuff, I have made a big change. Effective, well, by the time you're hearing this, all of my ebooks, fiction and nonfiction, you can name your price. As long as you buy direct from me, you can pay as little as a dollar up to whatever you like. And there are recommended prices. You know, my novels go for $4.99, my short stories for 99 cents. My nonfiction work varies between, you know, $2.99 and $4.99. And there's some other price points there. And these are all US dollars, by the way. If you're going to buy directly from me, those are, as of now, recommended prices. You can set the price. Whatever you can pay, as long as it's at least a buck, whatever you can pay, whatever you think the work is worth, whatever you think the time that I've put into creating the work is worth, that's what you should pay. Now, if you buy my stuff on Amazon or Kobo or Barnes & Noble or anywhere else, you're going to pay the regular retail price. So I encourage you, if you're going to get something of mine, buy it direct from me at my website, mattselznick.com. Just go to the books section, and on every sales page for every book, you'll see the button, name your price. And the ebook edition of everything that I've got out right now, as I said, you can name your price. Now, Matt, you might be thinking, isn't that a sure way to make sure that that fraction of your revenue that comes from selling your own creative works, isn't that a sure way to make sure it never becomes more than a fraction? Maybe, but I don't think so. See, the thing that I want more than anything, one of the ways that I define success, and I've talked about this in the past, one of the ways that I define success is having, you know, enough revenue, sure, from my creative works, sure, to live a comfortable life. But wrapped up around that is the larger mission of adding to the culture, bringing art into the world, creating some kind of legacy. And one of the ways that I want to do that is by making it as easy as possible for people to read what I have written and to come into my reader community. And if $4.99 is too much to pay to read Light of the Outsider or Pilgrimage or Brave Men Run, well, pay what you can. I think you can afford a buck, right? You being the great unknown, not yet member of my reader community out there listening to this. And if you're so moved and you have the means, well, then sure, pay the $5, pay $6, pay $8, pay $3, pay $2, pay whatever you can. But I want people to read what I've written, and I want more people to experience what I've created. I'm not depending on revenue from my creative works to live. So what difference does it make right now? Why not make it easier? And in doing so, my hope is, in doing so, end up with a larger audience, people that read one of my things and hopefully come back and read something else and read something else and stick around and become, again, part of the reader community, my peers out there. I'm confident that if you've read something of mine, you're probably going to read something else. That if you've enjoyed what I've created, you're going to come back for more. And maybe you'll even become a member of the Multiversalists, the member, patron community of readers and creators. So I realized that it's just more important to me to build that community, as I've talked about since, what, June of last year, over and over again, building a community around my work, having more people experience what I've done. Because as I have said, regular listeners to the podcast will know, as I've said over and over again, it's not art until someone other than the person who made it experiences it. And not enough people are experiencing what I've made. So fuck it. Name your price. Pay what you want. And by the way, some of the things that I also have audiobooks for, you can add that to your order when you buy direct from me. Or you can just buy the audiobook if that's your thing. The audiobooks are not name your own price. So you might as well bundle with the pay what you want ebook and get the audiobooks too. So that's what I've done this week. There's some sort of behind the scenes stuff that I still have to do. I am integrating my mailing list, and this is something kind of on the marketing side of things, right? This is something that is part of why this makes sense for me right now. And it's the last mile, if you will, that makes it all make sense from a marketing perspective. Talking as a marketer now, talking as an author to other authors and writers. It's not enough to just sell an ebook to somebody. Really, what you want to do is make sure that person you've sold to, that you can talk to them, that you can communicate with them. And ideally, they've dug what you've done and they will pick up the next thing that you put out or something else that's already out. So as I mentioned, I've taken care of the website side of things. All of my commercially available fiction and nonfiction is now available at a name your own price basis, $1 or more. But the next step is integrating with my mailing list so that when someone makes that purchase, they get added to the mailing list community, which means they automatically start receiving the free weekly serial that I make available to my mailing list, Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, How It All Got Started. So they're automatically going to get that one installment per week. They're going to be part of the mailing list community. So when I have something to tell my mailing list, they'll get that email. But they're also added to an automated sequence so that about a week after they buy the book, they get an email from me saying, hey, what did you think? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Have you not had time to read it? Based on their answer to that, I just ask them to click one of those links, liked it, didn't like it, haven't read it yet. They get another email that if they liked it, I ask them to tell me a little bit about what they liked, and I invite them to read another thing related to what they just read. So, for example, if someone buys Light of the Outsider and they click that they liked it, I'm going to send them another email that says, hey, if you liked Light of the Outsider, I hope you will consider also buying The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay. If they didn't like whatever they bought, then they get an email recommending something different that I've written. And if they say they haven't had time, then I just ask them again. They get another email in another week that asks them again. Hey, how about now? Have you read it now? Huh? Huh? Have you? And setting that up, for one thing, it as I mentioned, it's an automated sequence. So it's relative to when they purchase the book. The events, the emails are triggered 1 week after purchase, and then an hour or so after they respond to that first email, and so on and so forth. I don't want to inundate people with emails, but I also want to be proactive and reach out to the folks who have actually purchased something from me. Can't really do that when someone purchases something from Amazon or one of these third-party marketplaces, because those places don't share data about buyers. You might tell me, oh, Matt, yeah, I bought your book. I can't wait to read it. But of the sales that I might have in that day, that week, that month, I don't know which one is you. But when you buy direct from an author, they get to see your email address and you can chain all that stuff together. So my digital sales provider, Gumroad, it talks to my email mailing list provider, ConvertKit. And so ConvertKit knows when someone has bought something from Gumroad via the name your own price link on my site. And that sets in motion the automation, the email automation that I've set up on ConvertKit. So it all works together. This is exactly what I talk about in Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure, the short instructional strategies book that I put out last year, talking about how your mailing list and your social media and your website all kind of work together as the three tentpole elements that connect, and I'm mixing metaphors, the stuff that makes your author career work. You can't really get too far without all three of those things, mailing list, social media, and website, working together with the ultimate goal of bringing people into your mailing list community, your reader community, and taking action to support your creative endeavors. Buying a book when you ask them to, joining a patron member community when you ask them to, sticking around, writing reviews, being there in the community. So the thing that's left to do is to fill in all of the missing pieces of the tangled branching flowchart of automated events that happen when somebody does a direct sale. And I use a mind mapping flowcharting program called Mindomo, which I'll have a link in the show notes at mattselznick.com for this episode, episode 70 of Sonatotum. I use that to plan it all out, and it can get pretty complicated because there's some if this, then that kind of things that happen based on the decisions that people make. For example, that first email that they get after they buy a thing, asking them, did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you not have a chance to read it yet? Whichever one of those links they click, they're going to get a particular kind of email. And then there's the recommendation engine. You know, if I recommend something to a reader, I have to be able to notice, well, have they purchased it or not? And, you know, and the more I think about this, the more I might just make that more general. Real world example. So if they purchased my first novel, Brave Men Run, and they say they like it, and the logical thing would be to recommend to them that they read the second book in the Charters duology, Pilgrimage. And so that might be the obvious thing. But if I have them associated with already having purchased Pilgrimage, then I need to be able to recommend something else to them. And there's ways to do this. There's conditional logic that you can actually program into the email that you send. This is all done through tagging and segmenting, which any good mailing list service provider worth their salt will have the ability to do. I use ConvertKit. So literally in the email, this isn't seen by the person who receives the email. It all gets sort of sussed out when it's sent. In the email, I can basically write a little bit of code that says, if the person has not purchased Pilgrimage, then write in the email, hey, you'd like Pilgrimage. Unless they have purchased Pilgrimage, Then the email should say, hey, you might like The World Revolves Around You. As you can see, it can get pretty complicated. And I've got to figure out just how complicated I want to make it. Now, this sort of falls under the heading of staying healthy and sane, next week's topic. But it's real easy for me to, I could get super complicated with this and spend a lot of time on it. And I have to remind myself that the fact is, I don't know if spending that kind of time will be worth it just yet. How much super personalized, super specific information do I need to gather and present to be successful? Who knows? But balancing that against how much time I want to spend on it at the expense of spending time on other things, that's important. So I'm still kind of figuring out just how crazy I'm going to get with it. But the idea, the overall general idea, is to close that loop, right? Get people to buy something directly from me, from my website. When they do, communicate with them, bring them into the fold, bring them into the community, interact with them, ask them what they thought, and based on what they respond, make them another recommendation and keep that virtuous cycle going. They get exposed to new stuff that they might like. I give them the opportunity to name their own price and so get more of my work in front of the eyes of potential readers and, yeah, make a little scratch. And it's a virtuous cycle, ideally. We'll see how it goes. I tried the name your own price, pay what you want model about 12 years ago. Kept it going for a while. And to be honest with you, I don't remember why I stopped. Probably because I was a little more focused on getting revenue from my books. And you know, don't get me wrong. That's the end game, to make enough money solely from my creative endeavors to live a comfortable life. So I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this name your own price thing. But I also, you know, as long as stuff is available at Amazon and Kobo and whatever, wherever else, as long as all that stuff is out there at the regular price, I look at it as, I don't know, it just feels better. I want readers in my reader community who are there for everything, who stick around. I have faith that that will lead to that other thing, making a living solely from my creative endeavors. Might be naive, and it certainly won't happen on its own. I'm going to need to do promotion. I'm going to need to do advertising. I'm going to need to do all that stuff. For now, for the foreseeable future, for practical reasons and for my own mental health. Again, I said this kind of shifts over into the other topic of staying healthy and sane. I want to be less stressed out. I want to be less focused on, oh my God, what did I sell this week? I'm really trying to just let it happen, you know, to nudge it along, maybe with advertising, certainly with some sort of promotion, but I kind of just want to let it happen and not be so, again, I use the word precious, bordering on obsessed about it, beating myself up about it when it doesn't happen. I would rather that my process be focused on the process, not on stuff that's out of my control, which would, of course, be who's buying it, how often, that kind of thing. So I feel good about it. I wonder if you've ever tried or thought about doing a name your own price, pay what you want sort of model for your fiction and nonfiction. How's it gone if you've tried it? I should mention, the last time I did try it, you know, on balance, it was about the same, maybe a little bit better than just selling regular. I remember, you know, a few times where people paid nothing. That's not an option anymore. I need at least a dollar. But I also remember, you know, 10 or 12 years ago when people would pay, I think the top time it was 20 times the suggested price for something. Call it a tip, call it a larger appreciation, whatever it was that inspired that particular person to pay so much more than the recommended price, I'm grateful. So I know that's going to happen. I know it's viable. It's a viable kind of thing. So that's what I did. Hey, if you've enjoyed this or any other episode of Sonatotum, I've got three things that I would love for you to do for me to help show your support for the show. The first thing is, if you haven't already, Wherever it is that you get your podcasts, please subscribe for free to Sonatotum. Just click that subscribe button for Sonatotum wherever it is that you might have heard this episode, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Next, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, I hope you'll take just a moment to rate and review Sonatotum. Tell the world why you enjoy the show and why other people should listen to it and subscribe for free. And finally, if you'd like to go the extra mile, you have the will and the means, I hope you'll consider becoming a patron of Sonatotum and my other creative endeavors. For just $5 a month, not only will you be a member of the Multiversalists community of writers and readers and creators, you will receive all kinds of special access, perks, and exclusive content, not least of which is the uncut, unproduced edition of every episode of Sonatotum. Just go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron or visit patreon.com/mattselznick and pledge just $5 a month to support the show through your patronage. That's it. If you can do one or two or all three of those things, you'll be really helping the show and helping me reach more people with the Sonatotum mission of making stuff, finding success, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Thanks. Among other things, you just heard about my Multiversalists, my member community, the lovely people who have pledged $5 a month to support not just this show, but the community that we're all part of and my creative endeavors as a whole. I want to thank my current little cohort of member patrons, my beloved Multiversalists who are pledging $5 a month and more. Chuck Anderson, Amy Bowen, JC Hutchins, and Ted Leonhart. You just heard how you can join them. But once again, if you would like to be a member patron, visit mattselznick.com/b-a-patron. Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode. The perhaps nutty decision I've made to make all of my ebooks pay what you want. You can, once again, visit mattselznick.com. Go to the podcast section, look for Sonatotum episode 70, the show notes for this episode, scroll down to the comments section and write your thoughts. Leave a comment there on the website at mattselznick.com, or you can email me at matt@mattselznick.com with your thoughts about the name your own price approach. You can also record a little voice message on your phone and email that to me at matt@mattselznick.com. I'll play it in a future episode and we'll have a little time-shifted conversation back and forth, you and I. I would love to hear what you think. It marks a shift, not just in sales and marketing strategy for me, but it is a symbol of the larger shift I'm trying to adjust to. Because I think in the long run, being more concerned with the art and less concerned with the numbers is going to be good for me, which will be reflected in the work. And once again, positive feedback loop, virtuous cycle, however you want to say it. And of course, I'll keep you posted on how it's going. When there's something to tell you, you'll hear it here. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.